We appreciate this beautiful song, and we appreciate this family. Sister Waters, she does our church bulletin for us, and Brother Waters, he does a lot for the church too, and we appreciate your family and your daughters and the good job they did for singing today. Glad to have Brother Collins back with us too. He's been on a mission trip to Africa, and he told me he'd been sick ever since he got back. So we're glad that he's back with us in the house of the Lord today. I really do need your prayers today as I stand before you. I'm going to read a passage of scripture that's found in the third chapter of the book of Proverbs. It's a very familiar passage. Perhaps many of you could quote the entire lesson that I'm going to read. But I want to begin in the first verse, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and great understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. For in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now that's my lesson for today, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it'll be for his honor and glory, and for our good. I want to use as my subject title for today, Acknowledging God. Acknowledging God. There are perhaps at least four groups of people in the world, and I'm not an expert on this, but I know that there are people who claim to be infidels. And infidels, of course, they don't acknowledge God. There are then atheists, and they don't acknowledge God. They say he doesn't exist. And then there are the people who call themselves agnostics. They say, well, there may be a God or there may not, but you can't prove that there is. And then there are the believers. And we're in that group, aren't we? We are the believers. We believe that there is a God. And we believe that he is alive. And we believe that he hears our prayers. And we believe that he has all power in heaven and in earth. That he knows all things. He knows each one of us. In fact, he knew us before we were ever born. That's the kind of knowledge that the eternal God has. He knew each one of us before we were born. And this morning we know that God made a plan of salvation for sinners, don't we? And that plan involved the gift of his son. And all of these arrangements were made in eternity before the world was ever created. Now that's an awesome God, isn't it? And I'm thankful today that I can stand before you. I not only acknowledge that there's a God, but I preach that there's a God. And I want you to pray for me as I try to speak to you for just a little while today. We're living in perilous times. It seems like everywhere you look, things are getting worse. But for the child of God, you know, things are going to get better. And they're going to get better when the Lord Jesus comes again to this world. Now I want you to think as I try to speak to you today. We need to acknowledge that there is a God. Need to acknowledge that there's a God. The Bible says he dwells in eternity. And a songwriter said he sits on high and he looks down low. And that's what the Bible teaches. In the 57th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verse 15, it tells us about the God that sits on high and he looks down low. It says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and lofty place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite." Now doesn't that say that he sits up high and he looks down low and he dwells with the humble, those who acknowledge him and those who acknowledge their need of him. And the Bible teaches us about this God. Somebody said, "Well, I don't believe the Bible." Well, that's your problem. When you stand before God at the judgment, you're going to have a real problem, because the Bible is the true Word of God. I do not believe there are any errors in the Word of God. I believe that it says what it means and means what it says, and I believe we will face the Word of God when we stand at the judgment. It will not be, the judgment will not be based upon what you think or what I think, but it'll be based upon what God has said in his eternal word. He's never changed his mind about what he says. His word is eternal, never changing. And so we need to acknowledge a God. Now as I think about this, the Bible tells us in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts about God. The Apostle Paul was in Athens, Greece. He was waiting for some other preachers and fellow laborers in the gospel to join him. And he saw the whole city of Athens that was taken in adultery. He was disturbed about it. It upset him. And why wouldn't it upset him? When you stop and you think about people that won't acknowledge God, but then they'll build, make an image will worship an image and call it God. Why wouldn't that upset us? You know, because those of us who have been saved, we know God's real. And as Paul said to those people, God that made the heavens and the earth, he doth not dwell in temples made with hands, and neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. And it goes on in that same chapter, and he says, in him we live and move and have our being here in this world. God is the giver of life. He gave life to the first man and the first woman, and he has given life to the last baby that was born over here at the hospital. God is the giver of life. And the Bible says that we ought not to think of him, being an idol or a statue. He's living and he moves and he has great power. And there is nothing that my God can't do, as the songwriter said. He has all power in heaven and in earth. And so we need to acknowledge God. The Bible says that God made of one blood all nations of people to dwell upon the face of the whole earth. We have different races and different nationalities, and we speak different languages and all of these things. But I tell you, God, there is no respect of persons with God. A God that looks at every one of us just alike. We are all, in fact, in the book of Isaiah, I believe it is, the Bible says that the nations are as dust upon the scales. You know, dust is, I suppose, dirt. We were all made out of dirt, you know. And God said, dust thou art, and from dust thou shalt return. And lest we get to thinking of ourselves too highly, you ought to remember, you know, I'm just a speck of dust. That's all I am, you know, on the scales. And so God, he said he made of one blood all nations of people to dwell upon the face of the whole earth. And you know something else? God is aware of every one of us personally, and he has thoughts concerning us. In the book of Jeremiah, I believe it is, chapter 29, I might be able to quote it, but I'm going to turn there and read it just for our benefit. The prophet speaking in behalf of God under inspiration. He didn't just make this up, you know. It wasn't just his idea of how it might be. God spoke through him. And he said, I know the thoughts that I think concerning you. Do you ever thought and think about God thinking about you? You know, as an individual? Well, he does. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, God deals with us one-on-one. You know, we reach the years of accountability. And God lets us know that we're lost and we need to be saved. And God draws each one of us as individuals by his Spirit to him, you see. So he has good thoughts concerning us. He said, the Lord's thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. You know, God wants you to live and to enjoy life. And he wants you to get saved. And he wants you to live for him. And then when life is over, he wants you to come and live in the house of the Lord forever. And that's the good thoughts that God thinks toward us. And even if you're not a saved person, God has good thoughts toward you. Do you know the Bible says, I believe it's in maybe the 14th chapter of Matthew, and I'm not sure what verse, and I may not be right concerning the chapter, but it says that God causes his sun to shine on the just and on the unjust, or on the good and the evil. That's the way it says it, the good and the evil. And he sends rain upon the just and the unjust. People that are not saved, people say, I don't believe in God. They say, you know, I can get along without him. I don't need religion, you know. But God still blesses them. He gives them life. And he lets them prosper. And he lets them have houses and lands. And he lets them enjoy the good of the land, you know. And he causes his sun to shine on the unsaved just like he does the saved. And he sends rain upon the earth, you know, so the crops of the unsaved man will produce just like the crops of the saved man. You see, God is a benevolent God. He's a giving God. He loves us. And he wants us, you know, to live right and to do right. And he wants us to talk right. And all of these things. And so he has good thoughts toward us. You know, if you're here and lost today, I believe I could safely say that God is thinking about you today. And he would like to see you get saved. And he'd like to see you become a child of God. And he'd like to have you worship him in spirit and in truth. Because God does have good thoughts concerning us. I want to go back to my lesson just for a few minutes of time and talk to you about this. You know, Brother Mike, he does such a good job teaching Sunday school, don't he? Amen. He does. Such a good job. And this morning he was teaching the 27th Psalm. And he's talking about the path that the Lord lays out for us. You know, God has a path. A lot of people are going down the wrong path. You know, the Bible says there's just two ways. And one is called the narrow way, which leads to life. And he said, few there be that find it. But then he said that broad is the road and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many go in thereat. You know, it's important to be on the right path. And you know, I want to turn back over there just for a moment to Psalms 27. Brother Mike, I'm not going to try to teach you Sunday school lesson again, but I just wanted to share that. The psalmist said, teach me thy way, O God, O Lord, and let me and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. I thought about the war, especially the war in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and all of the IDUs or whatever they call them, the bombs that the enemy were playing in the sand, and they didn't know where it was at. There's been hundreds of our soldiers that stumbled on an explosive, a bomb. They didn't know where it was at. But I'm telling you, God knows where it's at. As we go down through life, you know, Satan, he lays traps for us. There are many pitfalls. We don't know where they're at. You know, and sometimes we fall into them. But I'm telling you, God knows where they're at. I've told this before. This last year, we held our association in Barberton, Ohio. And we got ready to come home, and I just reached over and I punched, you know, a button that says 152 Freestone Court, Bowling Green, Kentucky. And I was expecting that thing to just lead me right out of the town. And it says, turn left, next street. Turn right, next street. Turn right, next street. Turn right, next street. And I was right back where I started. And that's the way it is sometimes, isn't it? But you know what? I reprogrammed that dude. Yeah. And I punched that button again, and it brought me right out of there. There are a lot of people who need to have their lives reprogrammed. You're going in the wrong direction. You're not living like the Lord wants you to live. You know, you're following your own desires and your own understanding. So I want to talk about these verses just for a few minutes. And this is what it said, you know. It said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. You know, God wants to direct our paths. He wants to lead us in the paths of righteousness. He wants to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You know, he wants to lead us beside the still waters. And so God, if we'll just, as this says, trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That means everything you do, everything, everywhere you go, everything you say, it means that you need to ask the Lord to give you direction and to help you and to follow the pathway of the Lord. And it goes on and it said, be not wise in thine own eyes. There are none of us that know more than God. Not a one of us that know more than God. He knows it all. He knows where the traps are. He knows what we need to do to be blessed of God. And so he says, be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. and depart from evil. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And he says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Living right's good for you. It's good for you physically. It's good for you spiritually. It's good for you mentally, you see. And we need to acknowledge God and ask him, Lord, lead me in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. And we need to follow him. But then let's notice a little bit further. I'll go back to the first verse. You know, there are principles that God has laid out for us to live by. And with every principle, you know, there's a promise. You know, if you just expect God to keep every promise that he's ever made without you meeting the conditions of that promise, you're going to get fooled. But if you live by the principles of God's word, he'll keep his promise. Listen to what he said. My son, forget not my law. My law, he said. God is the one who determines what's right and wrong. It was God who wrote those Ten Commandments. He wrote them in tablets of stone, which meant they're eternal. They're not going to change. He said, thou shalt have no other God before me. He said, thou shalt not make unto thee any images or bow down and worship them. You know, he said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And that means it's wrong to do those things. It's absolutely wrong to do those things. He said, honor your father and mother. It's right to do that. Right to do that. That promise, or that commandment, has a promise attached to it. It's the first promise that God gave, or first commandment that he gave, it had a promise attached to it. Honor your father and mother that it may be well with thee, and that thou mightest live long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's a promise to that. He said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We ought to do that, folks. The Sabbath day was designed for worship and rest. Worship and rest. Worship God and rest your body. You work 6 days a week, you need a day of rest. It's good for your health. You know, good for you. Good for you. He said, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. You know, all of these things, God set the standard. You can't change them. You say, well, that's old-fashioned. I ain't going to follow that. Well, you can ignore it, but you do it to your own hurt. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. But anyway, he said, don't forget my law. And he said, let thine heart keep my commandments. You know, we need to do it from the heart, don't we? We sure do. He said, now here, that was the commandment. Now here is the promise. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Everybody wants to live long, don't they? Today I'm 83 years old. I'm looking forward to being 93 years old. I want to live. I want to serve the Lord. I want to preach the gospel. I want to see people get saved. I want to see God's people loving each other and rejoicing together in the worship of the Lord. I want to live. And I want God to be pleased with my life. God's blessed me wonderfully. I'm not bragging. Nothing I did, it's what the Lord did. And so, anyway, he said, length of days and long life and peace. Whew. I say it's wonderful. to be at peace with your neighbor, be at peace with your wife, huh? Anybody ever had any problems, you know, having peace at home? And it's not too much fun, is it? Not too much fun. But I tell you, if we'll follow God, He'll help us to have peace. He said He'd add it to us. Now here's another commandment. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thy heart. And here's the benefit. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. That's the benefit of that commandment. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your old understanding. You know, then he says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with thine increase, and with thy substance. And this is what he said. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, following the Lord, acknowledging God, and following the Lord, and living by His principles benefits every one of us. It benefits every one of us. And we get joy, and we have peace from doing so. We walk by faith, don't we? The just shall live by faith. If God's word says it, I'm going to do it because God said do it. And that's the way it is. And he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we follow the Lord in the things that he would have us to do. And then we No, the Bible says that we should not follow a multitude to do evil. Sometimes people say, well, everybody else is doing it. I don't mean it's right. You know, I want to say just a few words to young people. I'm almost finished. But you young people, I thank God for you. Many of you have already been saved. And like this beautiful young girl up here this morning, she testified. And she praised the Lord, you know. And God was pleased with that. She offered the sacrifice of thanksgiving, which is pleasing to the Lord, you know. He liked that. And I want to say to you all, you know, living for God is much, much better than living for the devil. Much better. Now the devil will try to get you to involved in the things of the world, and he will try to hinder you every way that he possibly can. But you know, you have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we also know the Bible teaches us, you know, that we should live for him. We should honor him. And the way we honor him is we seek the Lord and get saved. That's the first step. That's the first step in honoring God. And then we follow him in the path that he has laid out for us. And the things that are wrong, we don't do them. I say, you know, to you beautiful young girls, if some boy comes along and he drinks beer and smokes pot, don't run around with him. He'll be bad for you. I mean, he'll be bad for you. You young men, you know, if you see a beautiful young girl and you go, whoo, wow, you know. But you find out that she's not living right. Maybe she's a pot smoker, or maybe she drinks, or maybe something else. She goes to places that Christians shouldn't go. You just don't go with her. You just don't follow her. You think, well, I might be able to win her over to Lord. Yeah, you might. And she might be able to take you away from the Lord too. You know, I see young people, and it's very disturbing to me. They put all these ugly tattoos all over. Oh. You say, well, that can't be nothing wrong with that. You know what the Bible says? The Bible said, if you're saved, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit lives in you. And the Bible says, if you defile the temple, he that defileth the temple, him God will destroy. You think it's not serious? It is serious. It's serious. You know, we need to come to church. We need to dress our very best. We need to try to look good when we go to the house of God. And we need to worship the Lord. And the things that would draw us away from God, we need to leave them alone. Now I'm going to close. I pray God will bless the message. And I pray that we'll all acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. That means socially, you know. We're social beings, and we like to socialize. Acknowledge the Lord in your social life, you know. Acknowledge the Lord in your spiritual life. Everything you do, acknowledge the Lord. May God bless you. Here's our prayer. Now this morning I'm going to open the doors of the church.